Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. A Chinese researcher is claiming that he is responsible for the world's first gene-edited babies, twin girls born this month. The researcher, He Junkui, says he used the gene-editing technique known as CRISPR to modify the embryos of the two babies and give them the ability to resist HIV. The twins, who were conceived through in vitro fertilization, have a father who is HIV positive. He's claim has not been verified, but it has sparked widespread criticism. In fact, his announcement included a response to critics.
I understand my work will be controversial, but I believe family need this technology, and I'm willing to take the criticism for them.
Antonio Regalado is senior editor for biomedicine for the MIT Technology Review, and he's been following the story. He joins us now on the phone. Antonio, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey there.
So could you begin by just telling us, or perhaps reminding some of our listeners briefly, how CRISPR works as a gene editing technique?
Right. CRISPR works with two parts. There's a protein that cuts DNA, and then there's something called a guide RNA, which is a very small molecule that basically matches up with specific places in your genome or in the genome of any cell. And by combining those two things, scientists are able to basically cut DNA, cut the double helix anywhere they want.
And it's a widely accepted and considered quite promising technique, yes? And so could you maybe then fill in why this particular experiment by He is considered so controversial?
Right. CRISPR is widely accepted, widely used, more and more every day. People are editing the genomes of plants to make better plants, goats, cows, zebrafish, yeast. But in this experiment, we're talking about editing the genes of a human embryo and then taking that embryo, transferring it to a woman's uterus and producing a child. So that is a whole different story.
And partly because the alterations then could be inherited from one generation to the next, right? We're not just talking about someone altering his or her own DNA.
Right, exactly. It's called germline engineering. And germline means the cells that do the part that is inheritance, sperm, eggs, and the embryo itself. So when you edit one of those cells and use it to make a person, you've gone germline or you've crossed the germline and you've created a change that would be heritable from one generation to the next. And that's why it's a concern because we're making decisions today for the people of the future.
And some scientists are also concerned about the particular details of the way this experiment by He was conducted. For example, he didn't give notice of his work until long after he began it, just earlier this month. And meanwhile, the children have already been born. And there's some question about how much disclosure he gave to the parents involved. How does that sort of magnify the ethical questions that would be here in any case, Antonio?
Right. Well, very little is known about how the experiment was undertaken, and that's the whole problem. This is a question for the whole world to consider, to decide on, and here we have a case of someone who did it in complete secrecy with what appears to be really limited oversight. I think even less is known about the experience of the parents that were involved. We haven't heard from them yet, so we don't know what the researchers told them, what their expectations were, or whether they got what's called informed consent. In other words, a really clear idea of what was going to happen.
So let's get a little bit, Antonio, into how this experiment was supposed to work, what He claims to have done. So some people, a very small number, naturally appear to have a genetic mutation that makes them highly resistant to HIV. And there's a gene called CCR5. That is the gene that CRISPR modifies in this technique. How exactly does it work in this experiment?
Right. It's well known that people who are lacking a working copy of CCR5 are either immune to or highly resistant to HIV. Actually, there's a very famous case, the Berlin patient, when the whole phenomenon was kind of discovered. This was somebody who had HIV and also had cancer and got a bone marrow transplant. And then, kind of miraculously, he was cured of his HIV, which basically never happens, And it turns out that the bone marrow that he got, the donor didn't have this gene, CCR5. So that's kind of how it was discovered, how the effect was discovered. And so a lot of people have thought for a long time, like, well, gee, would this be an avenue to make people resistant to HIV? And in fact, there's a clinical trial also of gene editing, but in adults, where there's an attempt underway to change their blood cells to remove CCR5. In this case, the researchers just said, well, how about lifelong protection? Why don't we make the child HIV resistant from the get-go?
So in this case, we're talking about how CCR5 affects the HIV virus, but of course, like many genes, it can affect other diseases too. And we've heard some concern from Feng Zhang, who's one of the most prominent CRISPR scientists in the world here at the Broad Institute. And he's pointed out in his Twitter criticism of this experiment that a side effect here possibly could be making patients more susceptible to the West Nile virus, or perhaps more likely to die of flu symptoms. What else do we know or not know about the potential side effects here?
Right. Well, you know, people who don't have this gene seem generally healthy. I actually hadn't heard about the West Nile virus before earlier today when I heard about it from Feng Zhang, that maybe if you don't have this gene, you could be more susceptible to certain other types of infections. Certainly possible. But I think the big point is this team in China, they took totally normal embryos and mutated them. You know, they damaged those embryos in order to get this anti-HIV effect. So the biggest risk of all is introducing CRISPR into the embryo. It may do what you want, but sometimes it has a propensity to do some other things that you don't want, make mutations elsewhere in the genome, and you might not see those until the kid was born, and those could cause even bigger problems.
And I should point out, too, Antonio, as you probably know, that we've also heard a different perspective from another prominent CRISPR scientist, George Church at Harvard. While raising some qualms about the specific way that this trial was conducted, has said that he thinks that a cause like combating HIV justifies a controversial experiment like this one. So there does seem to be sort of an ethical split in the scientific community, Antonio, and I wonder what that says about the broader debate that is going to go on now and will continue about the ethics of modifying embryos.
Right. Well, you know, we just learned about this yesterday, so today everybody's really concerned about it, and there's a lot of sort of negative assessments of this research. I think George Church is somebody who looks sort of further in the future, and he realizes that attitudes could change. As we get used to these ideas, it might not seem so shocking, and we might come around to the notion that, gee, maybe some of these things really are good. And I can tell you, he's not just thinking about HIV. I mean, there's other things you could do to a human embryo which might have really interesting consequences. What happens if you could make people live 200 years instead of 100 years? They can do it to worms by changing their DNA. Maybe they could do it to us. If you start to think about longevity, then you could see how this whole idea gets really, really interesting.
And gets even more controversial, no doubt. And Huff seems to be at least self-aware about the controversy that would be generated. And he's talked a little bit about this. Here's a little bit of him discussing how there would be inevitable controversy about gene editing, even if he wasn't the one doing the work.
The world has moved on to the stage for embryo gene editing. There will be someone somewhere who's doing this. If it's not me, it's someone else.
So, Antonio, in the final moments that we have, I mean, what about that argument that, yes, I understand there's going to be some controversy here, but this is inevitable. This is where science is headed, and we got to figure out what to do with it. We can't stop it.
Right. That's the message from the scientist. That's the message generally from the scientific community as a whole. It really is. Things are rushing forward, and there's no way to contain them. But on the other hand, you know, this person has stepped forward. He's done the experiment. There is a controversy. He's at the center of it. So let's not forget that there is an aspect here of seeking fame, seeking renown, seeking a Nobel Prize. Scientists want recognition for their work, and they want to be famous. And I think that's part of what we're seeing here.
All right. That's Antonio Regalado, Senior Editor for Biomedicine at the MIT Technology Review. Antonio, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, man. Thanks. Bye.
And NPR is reporting that a Chinese ethics board will investigate to see whether He's experiment violated the country's laws.